नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स डियर वेनरेबल ब्रदर डियर फ्रेंड्स इन धम्म एक्चुअली वी वर डिस्कसिंग चब्बीसोदन सूत्र फॉर सेवरल वीक्स एंड देन वी स्टार्टेड डिस्कसिंग Sona Sutta, both actually deal with the qualities of an arahant, and there we have discussed how his mind may work and how his mind continue with the practice, and such kind of things actually we have discussed. And there was a request to discuss something related to the samadhi, concentration, because different teachers have different viewpoints. So therefore, from today onwards, I thought of taking a few suttas which are explaining about the certain aspects of the samadhi. And therefore, I start with the Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta, which is available in Majjhima Nikaya. Majjhima Nikaya 138. It's called Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta, which is very much discussing how a person's mind would associate samadhi. So this is Buddha actually himself takes the subject, and he mentioned monks. He was living at the Savatthi at Jetha's Grove, and at that time he addressed the monks as bhikkhus, and the monks replied, "Venerable sir, bhikkhus, I shall teach you a summary and an exposition. Listen and attend closely to what I shall say." "Yes, Venerable sir." So this Buddha going to explain some Dhamma, and he is asking monks to pay attention. Bhikkhus. A bhikkhu should examine things in such a way that while he is examining them, his consciousness is not distracted and scattered externally, nor stuck internally, and by not clinging, he does not become agitated. If his consciousness is not distracted and scattered externally, nor stuck internally, and if by not clinging he does not become agitated, then for him there is no origination of suffering, of birth, aging and death in the future. Now this is a kind of a statement, the summary of the whole sutta. Tatha tatha bhikkave bhikkhu upaparikheya. Now that means, so he is reflecting his own mind. Yatha yatha upaparikkhato bahiddha chassa vinyanam avikittam avisatam. Now, avikittam avisatam. So it is not scattered or distracted in the external things, in the external phenomena. And not only that, even internally, ajjattam asantitam. So that means internally also it is not holding anything, it is not associating anything. Anupadaya na paritasseya. And now mind is not clinging to anything, and it can't have any kind of agitation. Bahiddha bhikkave vinyane avikhitte avisate sati. That means when it is likewise not distracted, not scattered in the external things. And similarly, ajjattam asantite, internally also not established, not holding, not footing onto anything. Anupadaya aparitasuto, and while his mind is not clinging, his mind is also not agitated. Ayatthing jati jara marana dukkha samudaya sambhavo na hoti. So in the future, there won't be any birth, decay, lamentation, all these sort of suffering. And interestingly, after having said that, Buddha raised up from his seat and he went into the kuti. So that is an interesting way that Buddha sometimes sort of improve or generate the curiosity among the monks. So rather than he explaining the whole thing, he gives the simple summary, which is also very difficult to understand, and he simply raise up from his rose from his seat, and then he went away, went to his kuti. Now monks are puzzled how to recognize this, how to understand this dhamma. And the same information is explained in another place as another sutta called Upaparikha Sutta, which is available in the Itivuttaka. Itivuttaka Pali is available in Kuddaka Nikaya. So there are also the same thing Buddha mentioned. Tatha tatha bhikkave bhikkhu upaparikheya yatha yatha sa upaparikhato bahiddha chasa vinyanam avikittam avisatam ajjattam asantitam anupadaya na paritasseya. So likewise Buddha explained as he did in the Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta as well. So therefore this same thing is repeated, that same summary is repeated, so that indicates it is quite important summary, important teaching that Buddha is trying to teach. And so once Buddha went back to the kuti, his dwelling place, now monks are discussing how to understand this dhamma. Now you know, sometimes whenever even we teach some people, say when there is curiosity, when there is a problem, then only they start exploring that. So if we simply explore, say everything, if we simply teach everything, so they don't sometimes pay enough attention, because things are, coming naturally. But when things are difficult, so they need to understand it by themselves, then it is the time that they are paying more attention. Now here the same situation, now Buddha has given a very important teaching, but he didn't explain it. He went away. Now monks are discussing how to understand this teaching. Now one indicated, okay, Venerable Mahakacchana is a very respected monk and again praised by the Buddha, who is capable of explaining deep dhamma. Probably you can remember certain other suttas, like even Madhupindika Sutta. Buddha did the same thing. So he given a very summarized teaching, and he went to the kuti, and again monks are going to Venerable Mahakacchara. And there is again Baddhekaratta Sutta. Again Buddha gave a brief teaching and he went away. And again monks go to Venerable Mahakacchara. He also, now Buddha gave a summary and he rose and went away. And now bhikkhus are discussing that Venerable Mahakacchana is well-respected, well-reputed for his ability to explain dhamma, deep dhamma. Now they are decided to go to Venerable Mahakacchana. So once they go there and they are inviting Venerable Mahakacchana to explain it. Actually, Venerable Mahakacchana didn't immediately start explaining it. So he's reluctant. He's mentioning, when Buddha was there, when the teacher was there, the teacher is the one who is actually like a son, explaining the whole thing. He's giving the light for everyone. So why don't you ask from the Buddha? Why are you coming here? You are like people that in search of heartwood. You are trying to look at flowers and leaves and branches and all without finding the proper heartwood. So you should have asked from the Buddha. Now this is how Venerable Mahakacchana is refusing. Then again and again, now the other monks are pleading, inviting that please explain us this dhamma. You are quite recognized by the Buddha, capable of explaining deep dhamma. So therefore please explain this to us. Now after this repeated invitation, now Venerable Mahakacchana is going to explain. How, friends, is consciousness called distracted and scattered externally? Now this is how now slowly we are getting to the practice. Now typically our minds are distracted. Typically our minds are very much attached to various things. And this is how it is explained here, vikittam visatam. Here when a bhikkhu has seen a form with the eye, if his consciousness follows after the sign of the form, is tied and shackled by gratification in the sign of form, is fettered by the fetter of gratification in the sign of form, then his consciousness is called distracted and scattered externally. Now this is something we need to understand, how whenever our mind gets distracted in terms of the consciousness, in terms of the vijnana, how Buddha explained what really happens. It becomes vikittam visatam. It becomes vikitta, that means distracted, visatam, that means scattered. Now, assume that you are seeing someone, say your friend is coming, or your child, your son, husband, whoever is returning, and then say immediately you sort of open the door, or he rang the bell and you open the door, and now immediately you see this anxiously waited person. Now immediately your mind go and start looking at him and enjoying the sight and sort of delighted by that sight. And at that time, so we need to understand our mind is fully involved there. Rupa nimittanusari vijnana. That means rupa nimittanusari vijnana. So the rupa nimitta, the various signs of the form is what now our mind is associating. Our consciousness is basically associating whatever the information available in that form. And through which we are understanding, okay, he has become old, he has become beautiful, his say hair has grown longer, or he has become lean, he went through some difficulties, so he has become troubled. So all this information we are getting because our mind has basically involved in that sight. Rupa nimitta anusare vinyanam hoti. Rupa nimitta asada gatitam. Now this is again an interesting point. Asada. Now while going through this, now kind of a delight is happening in our sight. So mind is involved there and recognizing various signs. And now mind is enjoying these various things. He recognizes, okay, this is so and so. And he's after a long time I am seeing him. Now you are sort of, mind is enjoying that, delighted by that. And there is a kind of a asada, kind of a happiness, pleasure derived from this sight. Rupa nimitta asada vinibandha. So as a result of that, now the mind get attached to that, hooked with it, completely bound with it. Now you lost your mindfulness, you lost your basic freedom of the mind, and now mind is there basically. So when we want to see something, so after a while, then mind go and completely latch with it, completely hooked with it, bound with it. Now you are there. Vinibandha. Rupa nimitta asada sanyojana sanyutta. Now as a result of that, now various different kinds of defilements are arising. If it may be kind of loving, it may be lust, it may be attachment, it may be kind of an affection. So various different kinds of defilements. On the other hand, if you have seen someone who you don't like to see, then little bit of resentment, kind of an anger, maybe even jealousy, whatever the defilements are now going to develop, and various sanyojana fetters are now developing. Bahiddha vinyanam vikittam visatanti ucchati. Now this is what it is called, external matter is now caused our vijnana, the consciousness, to get distracted. Now this happens every time. Say if you are not mindful, without your knowledge, mind go and latch with something. It may be various sights. Now Buddha explain, Venerable Mahakachan explain it as the various sounds. It may happen as the various smells, to various tastes, to various tangibles, and again various thoughts. Now say for example, as a kind of a song. Say simply you were having your meal. At that time, assume that you are trying to establish mindfulness. You are mindfully eating. So at that time, suppose there's a beautiful song heard. Now, I mean, previously you hear it, now you want to listen to it carefully. Now, because it is very beautiful. And it is a song that you have sung during your young age. So you are being so attracted to that song. Now you start listening to it and you start with, I mean, recognizing all sorts of beautiful melodies there, various tones. And you can now remember all the lyrics. Everything is now there. Now you are slowly, you fully attracted there and you are not on the chair now. You are no more a mindful eating person. Now you are a person who is completely distracted and listening to a song. And your mind now get attached with it. And various kinds of, say, affection, lustful thoughts, imaginations, all sorts of different kinds of emotions now going to be arised. Now you are there. You are enjoying that song. We simply say we enjoyed that song. So during this enjoyment, so we have lost our mindfulness, we have lost our freedom of the consciousness, and the consciousness is fully engaged there, fully established there, fully scattered there, fully distracted there. So this is external affairs. Now we are talking here of the external side. Same thing can happen with various smells. Same thing can happen with various tastes. Same thing can happen with various tangibles. And interestingly, same thing happen with the mind also. Now you can see the difference here. So the consciousness seems to have an ability which is still existing but without holding to any mind object. Now cognize a mind object with the mind. Now here, one is cognizing a mind object with the mind. So that means, it is not the full task or completely it is necessary to cognize these mind objects. There should have been a kind of a ability of the mind to be alone, be completely free, without getting into all these trouble. And that is what we are trying to achieve through Satipatthana. Anissitocha viharati, we are consciousness is remaining calm, quiet, unassociated. Suppose that you have that capability and you are spending some time at least with that. While you are doing that, assume that there's a thought happening to your mind. Now that thought is now sort of agitating the mind. Now that thought is kind of triggering the mind. And now you awake, now you start thinking. Now you start thinking with respect to the past. Now you start thinking with respect to the future. Now slowly you are getting involved. Now you are someone. You are a great thinker. You are someone who is planning. You are a designer. You are a software engineer. You are a doctor. Whatever it is, and you have become that. Your mind is completely in that. So even though your other senses are simply, say, calm down, your mind is fully active and you are completely in the thought world. And here, your mind is fettered by the fetter of gratification in the sign of the mind object. So it may be different types of mind objects, various kinds of mind objects. And once they are there, so your mind gets fully crowded. Because you are promoting that, you are thinking about it in different lines. And again, you get involved in that thought, that sort of thinking. And now ultimately it becomes kind of obsessive thinking, mental proliferation. And now you are fully fettered, completely under this influence of various defilements. Now this is happening, and even here you need to understand it is explained as external, not as internal. Now, mind is, we can consider as internal. So the thoughts, various kinds of mind objects, Dhamma Ramana, is considered as external. So those external things appearing in the mind and you get involved, your mind get involved, your mind get distracted and fully occupied, and ultimately you lose your freedom of the mind. Now, this is what is called consciousness called distracted and scattered externally. Vikittang visatang. Bahidda vinyanang vikittang visatanti ucchati. So this is external, distracted, scattered. That is the state of the consciousness now explained. Now I think this is not difficult to understand. Now the interesting part comes later. Not distracted. So we'll finish this part as well. How, with respect to the external things, how it is not distracted? Avikittang avisatang. Now you may see something, but does not follow after the sign of form. Now say while you are on the walking path, you may see something. Maybe a butterfly, maybe a monkey, maybe a vehicle, maybe one of your relative. So you are basically mindfully, you are walking. Assume that at that time your mind is fairly free, unattached. So you are able to support your mind with fair amount of wisdom, vipassana knowledge. Now mind is capable of maintaining that clarity, maintain that spaciousness of the mind, and mind is not basically holding on to anything, and even the sensations you know, but your mind is not there. Basically mind is unestablished. Assume that you are getting this sort of a very fairly good state of mind, unattached mind. So while you are doing that, suppose you see something. Bhikkhu has seen a form with the eye. It is not that you are not seeing, you see something. If his consciousness does not follow after the sign of form. Now consciousness is not following that what you are seeing. And is not tied and shackled by gratification in the sign of form. Now there may be various different signs as we discussed previous occasion. So there may be some interesting signs associated with what we have seen. But the mind is not interested in following that. Mind is not following that. It is therefore not getting tied up with it. Not get shackled with it. It's not fettered. As a result of that, mind is not fettered. And the mind is not going there and finding out some sort of a gratification with what you have seen. And therefore, consciousness remain calm. Consciousness remain unscattered, undistracted. So basically, consciousness have that ability. So in the other hand, what we have to understand is that if we do enough practice, so we have to have kind of a skill developed, even though we see something, mind does not lose its integrity. Mind remains calm. Mind is not affected. Mind is capable of maintaining its clarity, even though it has seen something. So similarly with the ear, whenever you hear something, you keep it for the hearing. Your mind does not get distracted, scattered, or get involved there and get defiled because of that sound. Similarly, if the mind is, if you go through some sort of an odor, kind of a smell, still you recognize, you may feel it. But mind remains calm, does not go and distracted, get involved, scattered, defiled. So mind was capable of maintaining, protecting its integrity, protecting its undefiled nature. Similarly, you are tasting something, you are having your meal. Suppose in the afternoon you had a time and you met with some friends and you are having some good delicious food. You may enjoy it. Can we say that your mind is not involved? You can recognize all the different kinds of tastes available. How about your mind? Is it getting distracted or was it remain calm? So now suppose you are going through the typical meal at your home, say you are simply using the basic meal. So at that time, are you capable of maintaining such situation in the mind? You are mindfully eating, you recognize all different kinds of tastes, But mind is not scattered, distracted, attached, and fettered because of those tastes. Similarly, various tangibles, and similarly, various mind objects. Now, this is also very interesting, mind objects. Now, mind objects, we never assume that there's a thought happen in the mind. So you are capable of recognizing that. So you recognize that, okay, this is a sign, this is a memory, this is a kind of a thought. So you are looking at it objectively. As a result of that, you are not getting involved, you are not feeding it, you are not getting distracted by that. As a result of that, it may fade away and your mind remains calm. So even when thought happen in the mind, so your mind does not lose its integrity, does not lose its calmness, clarity. So you clearly see a thought coming and dropping. Very much like, assume that your mind is very much like a pool, completely still and very clean, calm, quiet. And all of a sudden, assume there's a kind of fruit or something drop onto the water. Now there are ripples. But after that kind of a ripple, then it is calmed down because there is no repeated dropping, repeated disturbance happening. Just one drop happened, it's made a subtle ripple, and after that it fades away and again calms down. So if such thing is possible in our mind, so that means it is not getting distracted, not getting scattered with the external affairs. Now that is regarding the external affairs Venerable Kacchana is explaining. Now he is coming to the internal affairs, various internal stuff. Now this is the most important part with respect to the samadhi. Now how samadhi would cause mind to get stuck. So this is the part actually I want to highlight. And here Venerable Maha Kacchana explained, and how, friends, is the mind called stuck internally? Ajjattang chittang santithang. Santithanti vuchyati. Now mind is fully established internally. Now actually at the beginning of our practice, mindfulness practice, we purposely have to do this. So therefore we need to sort of recognize. Now here the interesting discussion is not regarding a beginner. So the beginning of our practice, our mind is fully scattered, fully distracted on most of the various external affairs. As a result of that, we can't practice. So strategically what we do is that we select an internal object. That is the kamatahana, that is the mula kamatahana, or what we call as the primary object. And that is very much an internal object. It may be breathing, it may be walking, it may be vibration, it may be our own posture. So these are sort of kayanupasana related internal bodily objects. And we are using it as a kind of an anchor for the mind. Now again and again mind get distracted externally. Now again and again we bind it to internal matter, internal object. Now we do it for a purpose. Because at the beginning we can't, immediately release it from internal and external both. What we do strategically is to bind it internally. So that's why in Kaya Gata Asati Sutta, Buddha explained, Ajjattan Chittang Santittati Sannisitati Ekodihoti Samadhiyati. Now internally mind get Santittati. Internally mind get fully established. Internally now it is very much like sitting quietly. But associating the body in the Kaya Anupassana, so till we get on to the last step, so mind is associating the body. It has a real purpose. It has a real benefit. Otherwise, you can't continue the practice. So, therefore, don't misunderstand that internally we are binding it for a purpose. And after that, what happened in Satipatthana practice, so whatever the object that you are bound to, whatever the object that you have established mindfulness, Now you have to closely examine, closely investigate, so that we understand the reality of that. So that is where the Satipatthana Bhavana, Satipatthana practice is involved. So now you are understanding how things are arising, how things are passing away, how they are changing, and what are the relationship, like what are the causes making it. So the cause and effect relationship. So as much as possible, through the investigation, we are developing wisdom. So ultimately what happened? So this wisdom caused the mind to get dispassionate. Now, remember, already mind has the skill to let go all the external things. Now it has only involved in the internal things, and now even in the internal things, we see the drawbacks. We see the fragile nature. We see its inconstant nature, unsatisfactory nature, non-governable nature. Now, as a result of that, what happens? Mind gets slowly dispassionate. Now, previously we have kind of an established mindfulness. Now it's a kind of a separated type of observation. There's a distant observation. Now, it is not a very closed, thorough observation. Rather, you may see things fairly, but your mind is in a more equilibrium, more kind of a detached observation than the previous occasion. Now, it's a kind of a detached observation, relaxed observation. Now, when it is happening, ultimately assume that you are coming to a situation where your mind gets released. So that is what we discuss even in the previous case. So now in the Satipatthana practice, you refer anisthito anupadano, where your mind is not associated and not clinging. Now, so the situation here explained with respect to jhana. Now, if one is practicing jhana, now Venerable Mahakachana explained, so his mind couldn't get fully involved in that jhana, fully stuck in that jhana, fully associate that jhana. So that is where Venerable Mahakachana explained, ajjattam santitam, internally established, internally stuck. Here, quite secluded from sensual pressures, secluded from wholesome states, unwholesome states, a bhikkhu enters upon and abides in the first jhana, which is accompanied by applied and sustained thought with rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. Now, this is the typical explanation about the first jhana. Say, vitakka vichara piti sukha ekaggata. So, those are the jhana factors. And in the first jhana, so those jhana factors are available. And mind is completely secluded from all the other defilements. So, it's a very advanced state. Because all the defilements, all the hindrances are subsided. Kamachanda is not there. Vyapada, teenamidda, uddacha, kukkucha, vichikicha. All those hindrances are subsided. That is why mind get fully concentrated. Now, after concentrated state, now interesting point is, now the jhana, the concentration is available, and it produces fair amount of rapture, and it produces fair amount of seclusion, because previously mind is like a treadmill, going on this thing, going on that thing, here, there, and fully scattered. So basically, mind didn't have any rest. But now, the fair amount of rest is experienced by the yogi, because mind is fully internally concentrated. And not only that, there's a kind of a pleasure also arising. Internally, there's a kind of a piti, rapture, arising. That is also very blissful. And for a person who was fully tormented by many, many distractive thoughts. So this kind of jhanic experience is a really interesting experience. Now he can easily enjoy this experience. He may get delighted by this experience because it is so blissful and mind is not scattered. Mind is fully within the within the that jhanic experience, and so the mind is associating that jhanic experience. Vivekaja piti sukhanusari vijnanam hoti. Now the first jhana has viveka, piti, sukha. So all the external things are now no more, so therefore kind of a seclusion. So mind is thoroughly associating that seclusion. Piti, it has some rapture. Sukha, it has some happiness, lightness. Now you can see, now these are very subtle associations. Now if we consider the external things, say you are seeing someone who is beautiful and your mind get involved there, and it's a kind of a gross kind of an association. But here, internally, you are associating a jhanic experience. But still it is an association. It is so intense maybe even. Because now you are in a fairly concentrated state. And so that concentrated state has a lot of blissful experience, blissful feelings. And mind is fully occupied with it. Mind is fully established there. Vivekaja piti sukha anusari vijnanam hoti. Vivekaja piti sukha assada gaditam. Now, some sort of delight is now arising because of this secluded-based, rapturous experience. And as a result of that, mind is sort of trying to find out kind of a gratification with that experience. Vivekaja piti sukha assada vinibaddam. So as a result of that, now the mind is shackled with it. Now mind get hooked up with it, bound by it. Vivekaja piti sukha assada sanyojana sanyuktam. Now probably your mind may start attaching to it. Now you are sitting in order to get on to that experience. You are seeking that experience. When am I going to have that experience again? When am I going to have that experience, blissful experience again? So it becomes your motivation. It becomes your objective of the practice. Now, assume that you are a person who is troubled with a lot of external affairs. You have many issues at your office, many problems in the society, and the society is also, giving you a lot of trouble. And now you come home seeking some escape. And you start practicing, you get on to, say, Anapanasati or Metta, whatever. And then slowly you get absorbed and you are fully there, completely delighted by that experience. So this is possible. So Buddha Venerable Kaha Kachana explained the same thing with respect to second jhana. You can get involved in the second jhana also like that. So the difference is, the first jhana we have Vivekaja Piti Sukha. Vivekaja Piti Sukha. In the second jhana, we have Samadhi Ja Piti Sukha. Now, defilements are fairly, defilements in the sense, the previous Kama Chanda Vyapada, so those kinds of gross defilements are not available. Your mind is so concentrated. Unlike the first jhana, second jhana experience is more concentrated oriented. So therefore it is mentioned Samadhija Piti Sukha. It's a more firm kind of a fixed kind of a Samadhi, and mind is locked there. So the consciousness is locked there, the second jhana. Samadhija Piti Sukha Asada Gatitam, and you are having some sort of a delight with it. Samadhija Piti Sukha Asada Vinibandam, and mind get hooked with it, latched with it, bound with it. And Samadhita Piti Sukha Asada Sanyojana Sanyuttam. Now, there are various attachments, inclinations happening, and probably you are yearning to have that experience. Now, same thing explained to the third jhana. Now, third jhana has a different sort of experience. So, the first one is Vivekaja Piti Sukha, second one is Samadhija Piti Sukha. Third one is Upekkha Anusari. So the Upekkha. So this is a kind of a pleasurable, or rather we can say happiness, happy Upekkha. Contented Upekkha. Contented equanimity is available in the third jhana. So mind is fully absorbed there. Mind is fully absorbed to this this sort of experience. His consciousness follows after the equanimity. Then the mind is called stuck internally. So you remember, so you, the mind stuck there. So you have very much, don't have much control. You go there, you stuck there, and maybe once the internal, say, concentration is loosened, you come out of it and you have no control. You have no control when you are capable of coming out. You are very much like in a trance. Now, with the fourth jhana, also Venerable Mahakachana explained. And the fourth jhana, you are having, don't have even joy, you don't have vitakka vichara, piti, those are not there, but firm equanimity is there. Very strong equanimity is there. Neither pain, no pleasure. And typically, mindfulness is there. Purity of mindfulness due to equanimity is there. So these are, I mean, very interesting areas that we need to explore. So purity of mindfulness due to equanimity is there. But if his consciousness follows after the neither pain nor pleasure, and tied and shackled by gratification in the neither pain nor pleasure, fettered by the fetter of gratification in the neither pain nor pleasure, then his mind is called stuck internally. Now, previously, there may be a fair amount of mindfulness, you are aware of what is going on, but what happens later, so this mindfulness takes the back seat and the concentration comes to the front seat. So now concentration starts leading the vehicle. Concentration takes the leading role, mindfulness becomes weaker, now concentration overpowers the whole situation. Now these are in a way sometimes little dangerous, because I have come through several yogis. Now they are explaining, so their mind is under the full influence of this, and they don't know what is really going on. And after some time they come out of it. Now they start feeling various sensations. Then only they know, okay, I have spent half an hour in a kind of a samadhi where they don't know what has happened. And on the other hand, there's another aspect where you get overwhelmed by the concentration, and your body being very much like controlled by the concentration. So it is very much like it's doing various kind of twists, various kinds of say motions, movements, twistings. So different things. Maybe your arms, your head. So various twisting even can happen because the concentration has kind of an overpowered, overwhelmed. So this is something actually we have to be careful, because if we allow the concentration to overpower, then we lose mindfulness. Mindfulness takes the back seat, because concentration is so powerful and it is taking over, and it is even take the body as a kind of a slave. It is now twisting the body even. It's shackling the body. It is shaking the body. So these things are happening, and many people are even, explaining that. So, but we have to be very careful how to maintain the balance. How not allowing the concentration to overpower. How not allowing consciousness to get shackled in it. So this is something that we have to be very careful. So that is why it is not always the concentration that we have to follow after, but we have to maintain mindfulness, clear comprehension as a kind of a supervisor in our practice. Time to time we need to reflect. So whether concentration is too much, whether I am maintaining enough mindfulness, is mindfulness getting weaker and concentration is now trying to come forward. Now, so those things we have to carefully monitor. And now Venerable Mahakachana explained how mind is not stuck internally. And here also very interesting, He is explaining this with respect to jhana. Now, when I was explaining about jhana, probably some of you might even afraid of jhana. So that is also not the point. So jhana, if you can experience, you have to handle it properly, balance it properly, rather than getting afraid of it. Sometimes we get distracted by the concentration power, but slowly we need to understand the danger in it, we need to understand the consequence of that, and slowly we need to properly balance it. It's very much like, say, you are driving a vehicle and you are speeding up, and ultimately you lose the control. It's too much speedy, extremely fast, you are losing your control, and ultimately you even met with an accident. The same thing can happen with our mind. So we are slowly speeding up, we are slowly developing concentration, and at a given moment, concentration overpowers, that means we lose our control. Ultimately, concentration takes over and we even can meet with an accident. Same thing is possible. Now, Venerable Mahakachan explains with respect to first jhana, how one's mind is not internally stuck. Now, same explanation going on, that his Vivekaja Piti Sukha is there. So the seclusion is there, no hindrances, rapture is there, kind of happiness is there, calmness is there. But his consciousness does not follow after the rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. And consciousness is not shackled by the gratification, rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. And it is not fettered, it's not attached, not being hooked up. So then his mind is called not stuck internally. Now still the first jhana is there. So jhanic experience is there, but you are maintaining very interesting balance. So this is very much the point that we need to understand. So how to maintain this delicate balance? Get on to the jhana, okay, fine. Are we going to get stuck there? Are we allowing the full consciousness to overpower by the concentration power? Or are we maintaining a very moderate balance so that we know, okay, the vehicle is speed going properly. You may be in the highway, you are maintaining the proper speed, but things are under your control. You are not overpowering it, you are not overspeeding it. You anytime you can apply the brakes, anytime you can turn the necessary exit, very much like that. So I think with that I like to stop here. Maybe this part we can again a little bit discuss next time. So these are the interesting points highlighted in this sutta. Now I like to open the session for questions. Okay, we have a question coming from Venerable Sudhir. Yeah, go ahead please.
Question / kind of comment. Just open
to
discussion. I have heard teachers talk about that as well. That when the mind becomes very collected like that, then it can take the Piti Sukha as the object and get carried away by that. And so what they say is to actually just let that come and let it be there, but bring the sati back to the object that you're using.
Back to the object you are using.
Yes. Yeah, so like reestablish the mindfulness on the breath. Or on the metta, rather than let it be taken away by the
Piti Sukha.
So it can still be there, they say. But if you follow it, then you can get stuck there and maybe crash and do things like that.
Yeah.
But they said to basically reestablish mindfulness on the object.
On the object.
And let these factors take care of themselves, kind of.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good correct method. So basically, one important methodology, how to avoid that overpowering of samadhi, is that rather than you start enjoying, getting delighted by that rapture and the happiness, blissful experience, so again you are bringing your attention back to the primary object or whatever the meditation object you are using, so you are now again trying to be mindful about that. So that has to happen before you get completely overwhelmed by that samadhi, so you have to be mindful. You have to maintain kind of vigilance about the mind. Now you are developing mindfulness using a particular object, say it is breath. And later, as a result of that practice, now fair amount of rapture going to arise, kind of lightness of the body going to arise, that is sapasaddhi, and the mind also become kind of relaxed. Now slowly the pitisukha part, rapture and the happiness going to arise. Now still you have to maintain the surveillance, so still you need to maintain that vigilance. Okay, what is really going on? In case mind is now getting attached to that pitisukha, now you are giving more emphasis to that pitisukha, start leaning onto that side, now you slowly have to carefully take it back to the primary object. So it's a kind of very much like driving. So you have to maintain your vehicle in the middle, rather than leaning onto any side, either to left side or either to right side. You have to maintain your track, very much like that. Yeah, yeah. Shalika, you have any questions? So you are the one today.
No, but I don't have anything in the chat, though.
Yeah. Okay.
If you have any questions, you know, please feel free to raise your hand.
So it seems that nobody want to discuss on jhana. I don't know.
No, I think there are three people want to talk about jhana. Okay.
Yeah. You are muted, Shalika.
Yes. Now I would invite Sweeney to ask you a question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was also thinking the same as somebody said about going back to the primary object, going into deep samadhi. But I have experienced that myself, and I find like you anchor. There was a time I used to do not so much now, because I think I do more chitta anupassana now, and you have more control of the mind. And but you come back to the primary object, which is anchored. It's like it's solid.
Mm.
So when you realize you're going, you know, away from the body, then you can always bring it back and anchor it down. So it's really a lovely sort of thing to know you are in control, you can control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I thought I would also say, that it has worked for me.
Yeah.
And also something else I want to ask you is something that really externally, something that disturbs my mind and I don't really know how to handle it. Like for instance, I know Sri Lanka is going through a hard period now, and I have been helping a lot of monasteries, the nuns, monasteries and Sangha, with like sending money to various things, and I get lots of requests coming all the time, and I'm a pensioner, there's a limit to what I can do, but then it bothers me when a request comes and I feel, how can I eat when the Sangha is not having food? And then my mind gets disturbed, and in a way it's distracted and scattered externally, I could say, because I'm now trying to find that my own money is not sufficient to give sufficient money. I mean, I could give thousands of rupees, but it's not sufficient for the demand one receives. So I have to ask my friends who constantly help. And they are also stretched because they are helping lots of other organizations too. And so this disturbs me, and I don't know whether, because sometime back when I used to meditate, I have seen this thing where my body has completely vanished. I couldn't have any feeling of the body. But then I saw up there a star, and it was dropping like golden droplets. They were dropping. And about three quarters down the track, when there was a drop happening, immediately my mind sort of thought, oh, I'm losing my compassion too. And immediately that thought came pairing up back inside my body. So I'm just thinking, is this something that's holding me back, the compassion? Because I'm not really sure how to handle this situation, because it takes a lot of my time, effort. We send emails, they know people say they're hurt and they haven't. Then you have to follow it up. So it's a lot of time. So the Chitta Viveka, Kala Viveka, the whole thing is not there. So I'm wondering, how do I handle it? Because I keep thinking, maybe is this what consciousness is doing to me? It's showing me all these things, and then I am getting fooled by consciousness. Or should I somehow keep on this thing, trying to help as much as I can, because I can't do it myself with the help of others. Please advise me how to deal with this. Thank you.
I think, I mean, we should know our limitations, because if we don't know our limits, then we, as you said, we become sort of frustrated, and ultimately, basically, we lose our, say, well-being in a way. So we should, first of all, we should be properly established. We should be properly doing well. Then only we can help another person. So while getting into the compassionate cycle, so if we are losing our balance, so that means, as we discussed even here, so we are too much speeding up. Ultimately, we get on to accident. So, I mean, very, very same simile we can apply even here. So at the beginning, we are doing well, fine. So we thought of helping another person. We are trying to help a monastery, fine. But later, assume that we become overwhelmed by the things going on, and we become emotional, and we feel that I can't do it, I can't handle it. And the requests are getting more and more, which I can't supply. So basically that means we have little sort of loosen our limit. So we always have to know the limit, and we always have to maintain that balance. Because I don't know, I mean, because when we are in the outside of the country, we feel more kind of involved in the country. While being in the country, we don't feel much involved in the country. So that is also an interesting phenomena. Now, while being in Sri Lanka, I mean, we can simply maintain things. I know that things are not that good, things are bad, but I mean, we should know what is our limit. But while in the outside of the country, now you are looking at various news and various articles and while how people are doing, and you get more kind of affected than the inhabitants. So this is something that we need to understand. So it's fine, I mean, if you have a lot of money, it's fine that you are sort of helping, but you should know that you also have to support yourself, and you also have to have peace of mind. So if your mind is fully involved, get stressed up because of these affairs, so that means we haven't maintained it properly. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante. I have a written question. Dear Bhante, recently I observed how thoughts arrive and pass away at the later stages of meditation sitting. Previously, thoughts seem to play a constructive role, such as thinking that I am sticking with the object, etc. Is this an improvement?
Can you repeat the last statement?
It says that previously thoughts seem to play a constructive role, such as thinking that I am sticking with the object, etc. So basically, now he sees things that's, you know, arising and passes away. So he's asking whether this is an improvement in his practice.
Yeah, I mean, your mind may inform you what to do in terms of, by means of thoughts. Now you are observing, and while you are observing, investigating, so there could be a kind of a balancing you need to do, so that you may get as an idea, that you may get as a short kind of an instruction coming from yourself. And assume now you do that adjustment. Now things are happening much better. Now you got to quieten your mind. So this quietening the mind, silencing the mind, minimizing the thoughts is very important. Because sometimes what happens is, even when an insight arises, so few thoughts, few short thoughts may happen. I mean, the insight may manifest with so those few thoughts. But later, if we start adding to that and constructing various other things, relating that experience to various books, relating that experience to various sermons, then that means we haven't handled it properly. Because while we continue our investigation, assume that we got an insight, it also manifested as a few thoughts, and then we need to acknowledge that, recognize that, and slowly calm it down. Now we have to again continue our observation, silent observation, detached observation. So then there may be even another insight possible, because we are, I mean, maintaining that conducive environment. So the conducive environment is always this balanced mind. I think probably you can remember that is what Buddha advised to Venerable Sona. So Viriya Samatham Pativijja. So basically you need to understand, okay, now Indriyanancha Samatham. So the, all these faculties have to be well balanced. So then only you need to you have the proper perspective about your meditation object. Otherwise, it's a kind of a influenced type of or biased kind of observation. But when you are sort of in a proper balance only, you are getting the proper information or proper perspective of this object. So always calming down again, maintaining the quietude is extremely important.
Thank you, Pante.
Yeah.
Now I would like to invite Chitra Devi to present your question.
Yes, thank you very much. Pante, you go to the first sangha, the Priti Sukha, one can get internally attached to that, but you refer it as Samadhi. So is that because we are using Samadhi practice? Is that why you're mentioning the distraction by Samadhi when we are actually being distracted by the Priti Sukha?
In the first jhana, actually, it is more into the Priti Sukha. In the second jhana, more into the Samadhi. Because in the first jhana, Priti Sukha is more prevalent, more dominant.
Yes.
But
yes.
In the second jhana, the Samadhi is more dominant. But the point is, on the other hand, now, say for example, for a beginner. Now, beginners, whenever they first encounter this kind of an experience, it's a very blissful, very, say, marvelous kind of experience that they have never experienced before in their life.
Yes. Yes.
So that is kind of overwhelming type of experience. So that is where they immediately fall into the trap.
Yes.
Yeah. But later, with time, and maybe with the discussions with the teacher, so slowly they may understand, okay, I mean, this is not that I need to arouse some kind of greediness. Rather, this is another experience. Let me keep it aside. So let it go through and let me maintain the balance of the mind. So jhana is there, fine. I am getting to the jhana. But I am aware, okay, this, say, the factors are available and still the mindfulness is available. Mindfulness is showing you what is the state of the mind. You are fully aware of the state. Now, what typically happens is that when people are getting to the extreme type of samadhi, say they don't aware. It's very much like unconscious experience. They are getting to a samadhi and from that point, they don't know. Something has happened. They don't know. And after, say, 30 minutes, after 45 minutes, they come out of it. Now they get some kind of sensations and etc., a thought, now they know, okay, now I am back. So the previous time is very much like completely lost, completely very much like they don't know what has happened. So that means the balance has lost. You have spent some time, we are completely unaware, overwhelmed by samadhi.
Yes.
Overwhelmed by samadhi. Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't always happen like that, Namanti. Now, I just want to ask some simple questions, like Priti Sukha is is it mainly felt by the body or the mind as well gets involved?
Both. I mean, the Piti Sukha, the Piti, particularly the Piti, you may feel even in the body. Maybe like goosebumps, maybe, maybe like waves touching the body, kind of a little bit of massaging kind of thing. So those things are possible.
Yes. So it Priti Sukha is both body and mind.
Right,
isn't it?
Yes.
And then when we go later on to the equanimity level, it's more the mind, right?
We can say so, but you can understand now, even in the fourth jhana, so Venerable Mahakachana explained, now even to the fourth jhana, one can get hooked up. So this jhanic experience, so it is so subtle. So that's what we need to understand now. At the beginning, when we were discussing the getting distracted, scattered in the external things, so we can consider, okay, those may be quite gross kind of experience. Say you are seeing a movie, you are seeing a cricket match. So, okay, kind of very, very exciting, fairly gross kind of experience. But how about jhana? So jhana is more intense, more concentration oriented, and it is more internal, but still it is a distraction in that sense. Distraction in the sense, I mean, we need to maintain that balance. Otherwise, we are being driven up by that.
So, I may be wrong, so please correct me, but when one gets into this samadhi, I used to practice a lot of samadhi, but now I do more vipassana, but in this samadhi, one gets more and more away from the outside, and one goes into a very, very peaceful, you know, you can't even hear noises or anything because you have gone so much inside. And I don't know why we are supposed to get distracted by that. I mean, it is a very, it's totally secluded away from everything, and it's a very peaceful sort of experience. I don't know whether I'm saying the correct thing. I'm asking you.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, it is so peaceful. You have escaped from all the aberrations of the outside world, and you have found a real blissful experience. So why am I going to lose that? Why am I going to experience all the outside sounds, since I have all this blissful experience? So then I am holding it strongly because I recognize its bliss. I recognize its value. So I am holding it thoroughly. Now I don't know what's the time going on, what's really going on. And so that's where, I mean, I have so much of attachment to that experience.
Yes, Bhante, but you don't have to have an attachment, right? Once you understand and develop a little bit of wisdom, you're just in the moment. And then when you come out of it, you can go into vipassana yes, when we are, you know, early stages, you want to have those same experiences, and you sit down expecting, and you have that tanha. But afterwards, it doesn't matter what
exactly
comes, what goes.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there, and you're like an outsider watching the process.
Exactly.
And there's nothing really, there's nothing to cling to. I mean, I don't know whether I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah, that's right. That is the kind of mature type of perspective we are getting with time. So that is what is necessary. But usually what happens is, to some people, they are not coming to this maturity. So they are holding the experience for a long time. Suppose there's a person who is getting to this experience. Okay, fine. First day to second day, he get attached. He is enjoying that. Fine, no problem. Maybe later that, slowly he has to mature. Okay, understanding. Okay, this is also sort of impermanent. No point of holding it too thoroughly. I don't need to lose in it, or I don't need to lost in it. Let me aware of what is really going on. Now he's trying to maintain kind of a balance, rather than allowing the experience to overpower him. Now he's trying to maintain a kind of a balance. He's aware of what is really going on. He stepped back and start watching it. Now that means he's allowing mindfulness to take over. So that has to happen. But what happens for some others is now mindfulness is completely gone. Now they are giving more priority for the concentration. They are sitting in order to get on to this concentrated state. And for hours they are there. And that becomes their main objective of the practice.
Yes, so because anyway the Buddha says in the Anapanasati, then from there you go on to the Vipassana. So
has to, yeah.
That is when you come out of all this, and I mean it's a very pleasant experience anyway. We can't deny the fact, no one.
Yeah. Definitely,
yeah,
definitely.
So then you it is. So yeah. You can't deny that. But
yes.
Then if you come out of that and then you go into Vipassana and do everything that we do during Vipassana, then that's what the Buddha wanted you to do anyway in the
exactly,
first place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is why, I mean, that understanding, getting that insight from the Buddha, looking at objectively. So these are the primary things that we need to understand. So that is a part of Chittanupassana, where Buddha mentioned, samahitan chittan tipajanati. When the mind is concentrated, you need to know, okay, now the mind is concentrated. It is now, while being hooked up in the concentrated state, while you are completely under the slavery of that, you can't look at it objectively. So the mindful awareness has to be available to you, and within that mindful space, the concentration has to be available. Rather than within the full concentration, you have a weaker mindfulness that you have no control at all. That is not what is expected. Rather, within the mindful space, you are having kind of a concentration. So you can understand what is really going on, what is the intensity of the concentration, how it is happening, how it is changing, how it is going up and down. All these things are happening under your observation, under your mindful space, then we can say it is pretty good.
Yes, because now, of course, as we go along, we can go into Vipassana fairly early in the state. Once the body and mind is calm, then we can go straight into the Vipassana, so we don't have to go through that whole process. Though
correct.
It's a very,
correct.
It's a very peaceful process and a very body-mind experience, which is very peaceful. But then we can go very quickly into Vipassana, because that's what you're supposed to do to develop wisdom.
Correct.
Yes. Okay, Bhante. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Now I would like to invite Don Yasalal to present his question.
Thank you, Jalika. Thank you, Bhante, for the Dhamma session today. Bhante, I like to, like, in a way, like a question also for you to understand is that first one is regarding the external distraction.
Yeah.
As I mentioned. Bhante, maybe let me just share the two example I had. In fact, while I was listening to the Dhamma talk, I mean your Dhamma talk now, is that first I saw something and then suddenly thought came to my mind, oh, that is at the wrong place, I need to correct it. But then I again, very immediately I realized, no, that can wait, I need to listen to this. So I was kind of mindful in that sense, but nevertheless, there was some external distraction came.
Mm.
And then after a while, I'm back to the Dhamma talk. Then after a while, there was another thought. In that thought, of course, he says, I better do that something, because then, during my, while I'm listening, that thing can happen. So again, I went and did that thing while I'm listening to your Dhamma talk. So in my mind, I think I was mindful and I was listening to you really attentively. Can I say that this is external distraction or is it?
No, that's the thing. Now assume that you are able to look at it properly and you are not fully distracted and lose yourself.
No.
No, I mean, typically get distracted means you lose your present moment and you become that. But rather you recognize there's a kind of a distraction going to happen, there's a kind of a disturbance coming from the outside, so you are fully aware of it. So you went there and you closed the door and whatever thing you didn't, and while you are doing that also you are aware of that, and now it is no more there, now you are paying more attention to the Dhamma talk. I think you can do it while keeping your mind quiet. And you are not losing yourself, you are not losing your mindfulness within the mindful of supervision. The supervision of the mindfulness, you are doing it. So I think this is what we have to have, because we can't completely, be away from the world. There are various things are happening, even our body is sometimes giving pains and aches, etc. But we are fully aware of it. We know it's a kind of a little disturbance, but we have to bear it, and we are fully aware of it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Bhante. Then similarly, when we come to internal distractions, I think like what the feedbacks before, I feel with the vipassana practice, in a way we have the benefit of both. I might be watching the. I might be watching the thoughts coming and going, but at the same time, when I inspect my body, I might feel the relaxed nature, I might feel that it is really, there is some priti and sukha there. So I think it's, to me, I feel it's more like we kind of felt jump into both insight as well as samatha or whatever you call it. But yeah, I think during the vipassana, I at least feel that I have a mix of both. Now that may not put the level of jhana to the get attachment, but of course I time to time inspect to see how do I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that time to time inspection is what is necessary. So that is what even highlight in the sutta. At the beginning Buddha mentioned, what's the interesting point? Tatha tatha bhikkave bhikkhu upaparikkheya. So, tatha tatha bhikkave bhikkhu upaparikkheya. So, this means time to time, so you are doing kind of internal introspection. You should examine things in such a way that while he is examining them, now that means you are doing kind of a time to time introspection, how things are going on. Am I feeling sort of agitated? Is my mind feeling drowsy? Or is it getting now concentrated? Or am I exerting too much effort? So likewise, so this sort of time to time introspection is necessary while we are continuing the practice. So assume that you are driving a vehicle. So you are time to time examining, okay, are there any following vehicles? Are there any leading vehicles? Am I getting too close to that leading vehicle? Are there any another one going to overtake me? Are there any pedestrians? So how is the status of the, am I speeding up too much? So these are something that even in the day-to-day life, while driving, we are time to time examining. So the same thing is necessary even in the meditation. While we are sitting, so we are doing that introspection time to time.
Yes, but actually it reminds me, the your example was very good, where the driving suddenly speed take over, similar
yeah.
to the samadhi taking it over. Yeah, that was really good to understand. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah,
thank you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Bhante. Now I would like to invite Sir Sohani. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. Avasarai Bhante.
Yeah.
My question is, in what I understand is, now we have to go through an experience, know the ins and outs of the experience in order to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
In that same sense, should we work hard towards getting into a state of jhana in order to know what it is so that we can give it up to go to that next level of mindfulness?
Yeah, that also possible. Now that's why, now say for example, once you attain first jhana, so you start understanding its drawbacks, and then once you understand its drawbacks, it's getting closer to hindrances and what are its vulnerabilities, then only you are getting to more refined jhana, that is the second jhana. Because you inspected what are the deficiencies in the first jhana. As a result of that, now mind is very much leaned onto the second jhana, which is free from those drawbacks. So what you are saying is in that sense correct.
So getting into a state of jhana is a natural process in our meditation practice. Is that right?
It depends. Actually, it is not a must. Having that is kind of an advantage. But on the other hand, to what extent that you need to have it? So are we referring that we need to go to the very highest jhana, say even to the arupa jhana, or are we limiting ourselves onto the rupa jhana, only to the material jhana, or are we limiting our experience only to the first jhana, or are we limiting ourselves only to the upachara jhana, upachara samadhi, and getting to vipassana? So that depends. So certain people, they are more biased towards samadhi. They want to explore all the samadhi, and they are now practicing very hard to attain all the jhana. And it is good they are later turn into vipassana and giving up all the jhana practice, and they spend more time on vipassana. That is good, fine. But on certain others, so they are more oriented with vipassana, and they want to start vipassana as quickly as possible. And they are establishing mindfulness, developing fair amount of concentration. Now they can maintain that for fair time with the desired object. Now they start directly vipassana because necessary amount of concentration is available. While continuing with the vipassana also, the concentration is developing. So likewise, different approaches are available, and it depends on the character, their interest, and therefore different approaches are available.
Okay,
Vanti. I think that's all the questions that we have received. Shalika, you have any more?
No, Vanti, there's nothing in the chat.
Right.
So, yes, definitely we can conclude the session. Thank you and very so much, Meditative Bhante, for teaching us Venerable Mahakachana's explanation of Buddha's teaching on how our consciousness get distracted or is not distracted externally, and how our mind is stuck or not stuck internally through jhana.
Yeah.
So, and also I would like to thank all of you for your participation. And may all be well, happy and peaceful.
Yeah, Tiruvan Sannai. Yeah, Tiruvan Sannai. I think as a usual practice, we share all these merits with the celestial beings. We share these merits with all the past living relatives and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. And we'll use the traditional verses to share the merits. Ettavata chamhehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chamhehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chamhehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha chabummattha deva naga mahindika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha chabummattha deva naga mahiddhika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Akasattha chabummattha deva naga mahiddhika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idaṃ vo ñāti naṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo. Idaṃ vo ñāti naṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo. Iminā puṇya kammena māme bāla samāgamo. Sataṃ samāgamo hotu yāva nibbāna pattiyā. Iminā puṇya kammena māme bāla samāgamo. සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා හිමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු